Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so hot and humid, not as much of a chance for showers as we'll have on Wednesday for both today and tomorrow. System out in the Atlantic, 50-50 shot at developing. It would be almost 2 weeks before it hits us, which somebody texted and reminded me would be around the 29th of August, but that's traditionally when we hit the peak of hurricane season. It's been quiet so far, so let's keep hoping. That's all we can do. Dane Cialino joins us now, professor of law at Loyola. Good morning, Dane. How are you?
Fine, Tommy. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm looking at this 44-page, I think it's 44-page indictment. Mayor Cantrell and Officer Vappy. You know, before I get your take on it, how uncommon is it to have pictures in an indictment, or is that common?
Yeah, that is a relatively new thing. The last 5 or 6 years, so you certainly didn't see that 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But with everyone having cell phones and taking pictures of everything. Federal prosecutors get that, and people love to see pictures, and I think the pictures tell part of the government story here, and they are and they're persuasive.
What I wanted to ask is not, I don't mean to dwell on this a lot, but back in the day, if you had mobsters meeting or something, would they have actual photographs included in the indictment or not?
No. Even if the FBI was taking old film camera pictures, mm-hmm, of mobsters going into some restaurant, those never appeared in an indictment.
So it's the technology that allows it?
Exactly.
I got
And in legal briefs, lawyers are putting pictures and excerpts of documents, and it's very common these days.
Okay. So when it comes to the indictment, your thoughts on what you read?
Well, I think nothing surprising here, actually. That's the biggest surprise, is that the government has waited more than a year after indicting Vappy and Farrell, and now almost a year later, they're indicting Mayor Cantrell for virtually the same things that were raised in those indictments a year ago. Mm-hmm. So the biggest surprise to me is the delay, and I guess the question is why did the government indict them so quickly and took so long to indict her?
Is it a pretty solid case as you see this?
Well, every time you read an indictment, it sure seems solid, mm-hmm, because that's the government's best case laid out with no response or ability to counteract any of the allegations from the defendant. But yeah, I mean, the evidence to me seems fairly compelling. And as you've already noted, there are pictures and quotes from various WhatsApp messages between Mayor Cantrell and Officer Vappy. They have all the payroll records, obviously, that show that Officer Vappy was paid over $70,000 for essentially private time with the mayor. So when you're a criminal defense lawyer and you are defending a federal criminal matter, you've lost by the time it's gone to indictment, typically. Mm. It's the rare case where a defendant is indicted in federal court and winds up beating the charges at trial.
So in this case, the defense attorneys would probably be more involved with coming to some type of settlement?
Well, that's always the case. There's always going to be a time for plea negotiations, and I'm sure there's already been discussions of, mm-hmm, that. And the mayor obviously was not interested in doing it on a pre-indictment basis. But, yeah, I mean, the feds, no doubt, are still going to try to flip Vappy, try to flip Farrell, and get testifying witnesses against her. But even without them, they've got plenty of evidence, pictures, documents, WhatsApp messages to make their case. And yeah, it's a case not only about underlying wrongdoing, misuse of city funds, but also the cover-up afterwards, which, mm-hmm, is, as we always say, is almost, yep, is sometimes worse than the underlying crime. And here the cover-up makes makes them both appear to be guilty.
Do you ever scratch your head sometimes, Dane, as a professor of law, and the fact that, you know, I'm just a dumb guy from the West Bank, and I know that it's the cover-up that gets you, that people still get themselves in trouble trying to cover it up when they don't realize that it'd be better just to fess up right away?
Well, it's human nature. Whether you're 5 years old and you're caught taking cookies in the kitchen, it's just human nature to try to not get punished for it. And that's what happened here. And but in today's world, back to modern technology, in today's world, everything is available on our phones, and it doesn't go away, even though we like to think it does. So and again, they knew this was coming. They have text WhatsApp messages where they're trying to talk about using WhatsApp for encrypted messages, and they did encrypt a lot of the messages, thousands and thousands of messages, according to the government's allegations. But there were some that were not encrypted, and that's going to the jury's going to hear about those.
Did they break down any that were encrypted, Dane? Do you know?
I don't believe so. But they've got talk or chatter on the unencrypted messages about how they need to switch over to encrypted messaging. So what the jury will never hear probably are those encrypted messages, and maybe just knowing there were thousands and thousands of them will itself be damning.
Yeah, let me take a break here. We'll pick it up when we come back, because I want to talk to you about what the jury will hear and what they won't if it does indeed go to trial. Dane Cialino is our guest, professor of law at Loyola, breaking down a legal angle of the mayor's indictment that happened on Friday evening, afternoon, 44 pages of it, 820, traffic now, WWL. 8:25 and a half, Tommy Tucker back with our friend Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, walking us through the LaToya Cantrell and Paul Vappi indictment, Jeffrey Paul Vappi indictment. When it comes, Dane, to the indictment itself, and I don't want to hurt myself here talking about criminal procedure, but does the jury get to hear everything that the grand jury did, or do they get to read the indictment? Is everything in the indictment admissible?
Typically, the very first thing that's done in a criminal trial is that the indictment, which is the formal allegation of criminal wrongdoing, is read to the jury, and then the government proceeds with its evidence. The indictment, of course, is not evidence; it's just an allegation. But the presumably the government has all the evidence underlying the allegations that it will present to the jury.
So somebody texted in, I think it is important, 44 pages of indictment. What at the end of it all is Mayor Cantrell charged with? What is Officer Vappi charged with?
They're both charged with conspiracy to commit wire fraud, and then a number of substantive counts of wire fraud. And then the obstruction related charges, which include obstruction of justice, and then just straight up lying to the FBI.
Jim Brown, former insurance commissioner, if I remember correctly, he went to jail, and people think it was about graft or this, that, the other thing. He went to jail for lying to an FBI agent, correct?
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and that's unusual. If you lie to an NOPD officer, that's not a crime. But Congress has made it a crime to make a false, unsworn statement to the FBI. And a number of people think that that shouldn't be a crime. It should be a crime only if it's if you're lying, but for example, before a grand jury under oath, that's perjury. But it is a crime, and both Mayor Cantrell and Officer Vappi have been charged with it.
And I'm not taking up for either one of them. That's not the point. But when it comes to being interviewed by an FBI agent, you can get in trouble just for kind of contradicting yourself, whether you're knowingly doing it or knowingly trying to lie or not, right?
Exactly. And the real problem is the FBI doesn't record those statements typically, and they won't let the defendant record those statements. So it's
based on notes, right? A 302 interview?
Based on notes. And it often becomes a he said, she said, as it did in the James Brown case, where he said, I didn't say those things to the agent. And the agent said, yes, you did. And, of course, there are no recordings to prove who's right or wrong, and it just becomes a credibility question before the jury.
Is it they call it a 302 interview, is that it, where the FBI agent just takes notes? Or maybe
the 302 is the official FBI form that they use to record to memorialize what was said in a meeting.
Okay. Let me talk about the timeline on all of this. I guess now they both have to be arraigned, and then from there we set a trial date or what? Tell me how this plays out.
Yeah, they'll be arraigned before a magistrate judge in federal court. The magistrate judge, the matter's already been assigned to a district judge, Wendy Vitter. Then the court will set a trial date, and there'll be discovery where all of the evidence is turned over to the defendants. And nothing moves quickly, as we all know, although a trial date will probably be set something on the order of 3 to 5 months out. It's never going to happen. It almost never does. And I don't expect this case to go to trial until after Mayor Cantrell is long gone from City Hall.
Ironically, considering that this is based on travel, do you think they'll have to surrender their passports or not?
Typically they do. I don't know whether in this case that'll be a condition of pretrial release or not. It probably shouldn't be. I don't think either one of them is a real international flight risk.
I don't think so either, but they have shown a proclivity to travel, right?
They have indeed.
Thank you, Dane. I appreciate it. Dane Cingolino, professor of law at Loyola. When we come back, we're going to talk to J.P. Morrell about Airbnbs and what's going on with them. We haven't spoken about this in a long time, but it has not gone away. We'll talk about what the current regulations say, what's currently happening with Airbnb listings, and more. Then, in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Mae Scott, medical director and owner of Kronos Wellness. They're saying these GLP weight loss drugs could be the everything drug. What? We'll find out when we come back. WWL.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.